Just practically speaking, the way Bhagavan lived, the lesson he was teaching us, not from his words, but just observance of his life, it was, yes, perfect, but it was so practically perfect. And it was so, in fact, everything was done, you could almost set your watch by when he walked, when he did this, when he did that.
You remember what I told you? Write a book, just like the Imitation of Christ. The Imitation of Ramana, you are free to.
Right, and I'll do it. But the reason I'm asking is I want some direction. Talk to me, if you can, about how we might imitate Bhagavan's life.
See, you need not imitate 100%. You imitate even 50%. That's all. Even 50%, you start with such a thing. And then you see, these are all the things which you can follow. See, be a householder or anything. See the absolute unconcerned manner in which he lived. Was he ever worried about anything? One day, he used to take that mirabilam kaduka, that mirabilam these things, because he had constipation when he was in Virupaksha Guha. And the Paramahansa Swami, his assistant, told him, Bhagavan, there is no mirabilam, all things are over. Oh. Just within half an hour, some fellow comes there, he is talking, and before going, he says, Bhagavan, would you like to have some mirabilam? Yes, yes, why not? He says, while coming, there is a big cart which is going, from which a lot of mirabilam went on falling, and I collected them all, I brought it. He gives it, plenty of it.
Wow.
That's all. So, he's very thought materialist things. He's very thought materialist things. He need not say like this, like that. Nothing. Absolutely no show, no demonstration. Thought and it came.
So the lesson for us is if we dwell on that which should be dwelt on, all we need will come to us.
All the needs will come to us. So don't bother about it. And Bhagavan lived, see, in such a way once they gave him rice. And a lot of rice of that, all people were served. And they also served some spinach leaves, which are prepared. He said, there were many days when spinach leaves was our staple food, and we used to only have this much of rice, we used to take it. This was our staple food. Today, the role has been reversed, he said. So he used to take it on. He never complained, oh, I'm not getting rice, I'm getting only. Just taking. And secondly, so a man who has reached this stage, if you were to tell him some advice, he will simply give a left hand. Who are you? What meditation have you done? To what level have you reached? You come to advise me? And Bhagavan was going on here and there. There was some Kheerapati who used to sell the spinach, which are all available, spinach and similar. Leaves, she used to, and then she will make some, boil it, and used to give it to him. And one day, I think that lady, she told him, Kattela Poramane, Yenge Inge Shuthikita Kadakala, Ura Adatala Kada. She meant, you bloody fool who goes to a cremation, who will have to go to file it to a cremation ground. Why are you going here and there and wandering? Live in one place. From that day, Bhagavan lived in one place. He didn't want it. If you and I were there, would I give a letter? Who are you? I'm the Swamiji. Yes, that absolute egolessness.
Yes.
Absolute egolessness, that humility. And she told, she heard it. She says later on, with a reminiscing smile, this is what she told me. From that day I stopped wondering.
It's wonderful when you hear stories like this. And I remember Katya Osborne herself, the daughter of Arthur Osborne, told me when she was a young girl, maybe 10 years old, she would run to Bhagavan. Bhagavan was her playmate. She would run to Bhagavan when there was any trouble. And she'd run into the hall. Bhagavan would be speaking maybe perhaps the highest philosophy to a group of people who were really serious. She had had some quarrel with her brother. So instead of running to mommy, she's running to Bhagavan. Bhagavan stops and listens intently to her griping and says exactly the right thing and takes care of exactly, and doesn't always take her side, but somehow is just bringing her up. And it was interesting because she said to me, and this was wonderful, and tears were in her eyes. She was trying to hold them back. She said that because Bhagavan was so intimate and so available, she said that she and her brothers and sister could never conceive of a time when Bhagavan would not be there. He was just always there. But then when it became close to 1950 and the cancer was starting to consume his body, and it was obvious that the body was going, still she had this conviction that, well, yes, the body might go, but still he must always be here. And so then she said to me, after he left his body, and she held her fingers just like this, you know, she held her fingers just like that, saying, when Bhagavan left his body, only this much left. Of what he was, the body was only this much. The rest was still there, and even to this day, more physically present, more physically there, still having a quarrel, going to Bhagavan, the body is gone, because only the speck was taken away. And that, to be, you see, you hear that from an adult, and they say, oh yes, his philosophy has been, you know, modified, and but this is from a young girl of, you know, 10 or 12 or 14 years old, who says, you know, my Bhagavan is my Bhagavan forever.
She's Osborne's daughter. Osborne.
Oh.
Yeah.
Kitty. She's an old lady now. He's living in her house.
Okay.
Yeah. But even an old lady in the late 70s, she's telling this story. And she's weeping. And she would tell stories that no one has ever heard before. She said, one that I remember was wonderful. Because again, we're talking about the perfection of Bhagavan's life and how we should imitate it. She said that everything he did was by clockwork.
These are the things you should write.
Yes, hopefully I will.
First you jot down the various points, and then begin to write. There's
in fact, what I'll do is...
come on, you tell me that. What she
I'll tell you the story. Yes. She said that not only the humans knew Bhagavan would be in the hall at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, because from 3:30 to 4, he would walk on Arunachala. And so everyone would gather in the hall to be there when he came in, because it would be an available time to talk. Not only the humans, but the monkeys knew it as well. And the monkeys would be congregated by the window next to his sofa at 4 o'clock. So Bhagavan was walking down the path, and it was a few minutes before 4, and some devotee who had loved Bhagavan and had caught Bhagavan's heart was coming up the path and said, Bhagavan, I finally come for so long. Please, stroll with me. Let's go back towards Skandashram. Bhagavan didn't even hesitate, even though it was his absolute regimented schedule to be at the hall at 4. He knew people were waiting. This devotee whose heart was just fully at Bhagavan's feet said, please walk with me. So Bhagavan walked with him. And so it became after 4 o'clock. So little Katya was sitting there, now a little girl of 12 or so, waiting for her Bhagavan. And at the stroke of 4, Bhagavan was not on the couch. The monkeys started to go wild. She was very animated, saying, the monkeys were looking and talking to each other, saying, and she could almost perceive the monkeys are saying, what's happened to Bhagavan? He's not here. And they were very, very disturbed. And some of the monkeys started to run up the hill, go toward the path, running, looking for Bhagavan. And finally, some came back, and apparently in monkey language or sign, they said something like, Bhagavan's coming. So they started to calm down, but still were still agitated. She's telling the story and she's weeping because the devotion and the concern the monkeys had, the fact that Bhagavan must, something must have been befallen him. So finally, the whole congregation of monkeys now is, you know, they're there at the window, and then finally Bhagavan walks in, sits on the couch. And they are now at ease. But Bhagavan begins to communicate with them, apologizing. You know, trying to soothe their hearts. And the whole reason was he was taking care of the heart of one devotee and perhaps disturbing the hearts of the monkeys. The humans there, they would just be waiting. They knew. So you can imagine this all compassion and this concern. So to me, that's one of the greatest stories, you know, that how Bhagavan would be.